Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
In a bid for widespread success, we decide to go poppy.
Hello there, and welcome to Rockin' the Suburbs. My name is Billy Culpa. I'm here with Will Pfeiffer. Hello, Will.
Hello.
Heard any good music lately? That's a throwback, people. You don't even know it.
To our old podcast that nobody ever listened to.
Hey, we've realized that our whole week so far has been gruff, obnoxious
singing.
That's right.
And not that there's anything wrong with that.
But we thought we'd go with the smoothest, slickest pop rock music we can find.
Clean it up, polish it. But not your average pop. It'll still be a little offbeat, I think, right?
It'll still be from 1975, per Will.
No! Ooh. I've moved at least into the early 1990s.
What do you got for us?
Let's see. Well, let's start off with a band called Red Cross, who have been around since... they've been around for a while. They've been around since the, I would say, early 80s. That would be Red with two D's, a K, and two R-S's. And,
what?
R-E-D-D-K-R-O-S-S. It was started by the two brothers, Steve and Jeff McDonald, while they were still in middle school. In 1978, they've released albums here and there. I'm not quite sure how many they're still doing, but I think they're one of those bands that every so often they'll tour again or something. I don't know what they've done in the studio. I think okay. They had 2012 was their last one. But I'm going to play a song or two from their 1990 album called Third Eye, which was definitely... It was very... In fact, it got some criticism for being sort of a little too polished.
Okay.
When it came out. But I really liked it. I like some of their little rougher stuff, but I really like this album. I think pretty much every song is solid. And it definitely has that kind of big pop sheen to it. Like a big rock sound, but very polished. Like obviously some time was spent in the studio.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm looking for in this episode. So what song we got?
Let's play out a song called... first we'll play Zira, Call Out... In parentheses, one of the songs with parentheses. Zira, Call Out My Name.
Wait, Zira? Like
Z-I-R-A.
Oh, really? I thought you were just using like a southern accent. Like Zira.
Yes. I often like to use a southern accent in my characters.
All right.
Z-I-R-A, Billy.
I love that. That's great.
It's good, isn't it?
None of those words make sense. Red Cross with two D's and a K and Zira.
Zira. This is who... And this album is very much sort of a... this came out in 1990. It was during that time when there was kind of a retro 1970s thing going on. I don't know if you remember. So this song...
I was seven.
I know, but...
no, I don't remember.
A lot of these songs had like 70s themes to them. And Zira, in case you don't know it, is it's the female from Planet of the Apes. The chimp. There's a part in there where he says, but I don't think we got to it, where he says, poor Cornelius, he'll be crying. And aww. Cornelius was the, because he's going to steal Zero away.
You can catch that Planet of the Apes episode. Right? Oh, we didn't do Planet of the Apes.
No, we didn't do.
We did 2001. We didn't ever do, never mind. I take it back.
I know.
I like that a lot. That was really like, it reminded me of Cheap Trick.
Yeah, there's a certain big, fat pop sound.
Yeah, like hipper Cheap Trick, like the uncool, unknown Cheap Trick, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
I mean, I'm sure they like Cheap Trick.
I'm sure they do,
I'm sure, yeah, there's a certain thing. Do you want to hear another one from them? Or?
I actually do. Yeah.
Okay.
I've hogged enough of this anyway. Yeah, give me, what's the next one?
Let's play a song called Elephant Flares, which again is a retro. Elephant Flares were the big wide bell-bottom pants that people would listen to.
Thank you for clarifying. I listen to it. You
did
mean
you
they
know
would wear
that? they would wear. Yes, yeah, maybe they would listen to them. I don't know what those weirdos did back in the 70s.
There's things in there. I'm free, so is she. You are me, and we are all together, all together. People say we'll never change. That shows, and we all go, 'cause everyone's there. I really like the way she looks in that halter top and elephant fleece. Driving down Trans Am custom T-top car. Here's some Tracy Lee playing on the radio.
Driving down the highway with my Trans Am custom T-tops car. I didn't like that one as much. I thought it was like a the verses were not very smooth. It wasn't as slick.
It's a little sort of bigger, more rocky, more rock than pop.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah, there's like some jaggedness to it. It didn't have that smooth sort of gloss feel. But that's a band I've never heard of. I've never heard a reference to that band.
They've had when I was in college, people used to talk about them a lot, and that was 1,000 years ago. But they've got several albums out. They're all worth listening to. This is probably their poppiest one.
Sure.
I mean, the production is really poppy on it.
I saw Atlantic Records. Was it like a major label debut? Or
yeah, and
always?
I want to say that did Todd Rundgren produce it? I want to say, maybe I'm wrong, but
I don't know who Todd Rundgren is.
Oh,
I don't know. You have to understand, I'm an empty vessel.
He's like a legendary musician and producer and stuff.
He didn't kill anybody?
No, as far as I know, no, he's not killed anyone. As of this date, no, he hasn't killed anyone.
So I want to play two. It's kind of in the same ballpark, a poppy rock sort of band. I want to play two Jimmy Eat World songs. Now, Jimmy Eat World, I can hear everybody sort of groaning. It's old hat, but Jimmy Eat World is a band that I find fascinating. They had a major label debut with Capitol. I think it was Capitol Records.
Mm-hmm.
Could be wrong on that, but it flopped, and they immediately got kicked off. And they made their own self-produced album with their own money. I think I want to say, I apologize if I mess the story up, guys, but they took the money from the major label, mm-hmm. and they self-produced, self-financed their own album, and it exploded. It had hits like The Middle, and
is that TV show?
Yeah, yes. Okay. They created the TV
really?
Show The Middle. Yeah.
So they released the TV show as a song.
Yeah, it's
interesting.
Modern art.
Oh, I like that.
I want to play one of those that album. We'll get to in a second, but the leading with our theme of slick, smooth, polished pop. I want to play one from a couple albums later. This song is called Big Casino.
Mm-hmm.
It's the opening track from
Casino Royale?
No.
Before this world starts up again, it's me and night. We wait for the sun, the kids and drunks head back inside. Well, there's lots of smart ideas in books I never read. When the girls come talk to me, I wish to hell I had. Get up, turn the ignition. Get up, fire up the system.
So that was Jimmy Eat World, Big Casino. What do you think?
It was fine. I mean, yeah. No, but I liked, I'll tell you what. I liked the beginning more, because the beginning actually reminded me of that Zira song, the Red Cross. It kind of, you know, went right in. You know, I mean, there's certainly nothing wrong with it. And then it became like a pop song,
yeah,
which is what we're aiming for. But you know, there are a few things in this world better than a well crafted pop song.
So let me tell you a little bit about my personal experience at Dreamy World. In 2001, in Rockford, there was
where we are now.
Where we are now, yeah. There was a like a mini music festival from my friend promoted at Kurt Thompson, something called Save the Scene. It was like 3 days of like 10 hours of music.
Okay.
Like a band played like half hour sets on the hour all day long at Rockford College.
Okay.
So my band was playing mid-afternoon the third day. We were terrible, just for the record. I mean, we had fun, but...
Hey, but...
Right.
Yeah.
A little band called Brand New, which you may not have heard of, but they've been called the Radiohead of the United States. Brand New's a big band.
I confess I've never heard of him because I'm an old man who lives in a big bubble.
Brand New plays this show, and they realize that there's only like 100 kids there. It's fine. It's great for a local show, but it's not somewhere in Chicago. They're not that big yet, but they decided they didn't want to play the 7 or 8 o'clock show at night. They wanted to play in the afternoon so they could get on the road and go.
By the way, it's a jerk move I'm going to try right now.
But
it is. Brand New, you should be ashamed of yourself.
They should be, and we're going to get to that in a moment. So gladly, somebody, the organizer, is like, hey, do you want to switch slots with Brand New? And I was like, absolutely. So now Brand New has opened for my band, which is pretty exciting.
I like that. Nice, nice.
The lead singer of that band this week. I guess we're recording this. This is the week after Thanksgiving, so a couple weeks now. But the lead singer, Jesse Lacey, I think his name is, got accused part of the whole sexual harassment stuff that's been going everywhere.
Oh.
He's one of those guys. And I'm not going to get into it because I don't want to cause Jim to have to edit this segment out of the podcast. But there's some stuff going
down with this
guy. A little
schadenfreude on the part of Billy, huh?
At the time, Brand New spent a significant amount of time hitting on my now wife and her 15-year-old friend at the show. And that happened. And when the news broke, everybody went, yep, that makes exact sense.
There you go. A little gossip in our episode.
I bring all this up because all I remember about, besides the Brand New stuff, during this little three-day festival, is every single person going, have you heard this new Jimmy Eat World album? Post Capitol Records, they made their own thing. It was called Bleed American, and it exploded. It was so good, and it surprised me to hear you say you've never heard of it.
I seriously have never heard of
it. So this is the middle. This is the most famous Jimmy World.
This is the TV show we were talking about earlier.
Say every time I go to the music, I look over at Will and he's just furious.
I don't
want to
watch
stuff.
The video because I don't want to be prejudiced by the looks.
He goes, "It's fine, it's fine." He shrugs. It's fine.
I mean, it's a pop song.
It's a very pop song. It was number one though on Modern Rock for real, like number one Billboard song. I was going through. They had an issue where the album was called Bleed American and it came out before 9/11, and they had to reissue it after 9/11 happened with Bleed American something. And it was a big summer song.
What, they changed the title?
I think they changed the album art. I could be wrong about that.
Because originally I had them flying a plane in a trade center or what?
That's
No, they're good. I mean, it's a, I can see why it was a huge hit.
Yeah, I think it's a good contrast to some of the gruffer, more, this is clearly made for radio airplay.
I think they could use a little gruffness.
I think your mom could use a little gruffness. The look of shock and horror on Will's face. What else you got for me? Give me a song.
Okay, here we go. I got a band that here's how I know how I encountered this band, because I used to work at the newspaper, same as Billy. That's back when people used to work at newspapers, and I got this CD. It just came across my desk. They just sent it to me. I'd never heard of the band. A band called Tsar, TSAR, like the old Russian czars, and I just thought they were. As soon as I put it in, I couldn't believe how good it was, and I thought this band, in a perfect world, this band would have nothing but number one hits, because this is pure pop perfection.
What's the song called?
We're going to play a song called Kathy Fong is the Bomb. It was heard, if you ever saw the James Gunn movie Super with Dwight, it was the title. It was played during the opening credit.
A one reference Trick Pony here, but that definitely reminded me of Cheap Trick.
Yeah, that one was, and I think in their press release they even cited Cheap Trick, and the singer even sounds a little Robin Zander-y in certain parts.
Did you ever hear Tinted Windows?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That reminded me of that, too, yeah. Which I think was Bunny Carlos with the guys from Hanson.
With the singer from Hanson, one of the guys from Fountains of Wayne, and...
Was it the Schlesinger guy? Adam, was it the...
I think it was Schlesinger, and the other guy was... The fourth was some, we should know this off the top of our heads, but the fourth was somebody too. Yeah, that is a great CD.
It reminded me, so not to get sidetracked from Tsar,
mm-hmm.
but it reminded me of that ballpark. It's a band that...
It's very poppy, very...
Makes a lot of sense. I'm surprised I haven't heard of them, and I think you're doing the job that when I imagined how this was going to go for us, I was like, I'm going to bring bands that... nobody's ever heard of to the forefront, and I think you're beating me at my own
game. They did a self-titled album. They did a follow-up called Girls, Band, and Money, I believe, that was excellent. A little less poppy, maybe a little edgier, but also good. And then I think they released like a couple EPs. Hopefully they're reforming. I mean...
James Iha, Smashing Pumpkins.
He was the other guy, yeah. That's the other guy in Tinted Window. Czar. So I hope they're around... if they released an album tomorrow, I would buy it. I would physically buy it. I would find a physical copy and buy it to support these guys.
Well, their Wikipedia was last updated August 29th of 2017.
And it says, yeah, what is it?
They have here's active present.
I know, I'm excited.
We should go see their show together, Will.
Where are they?
I'm sure they're...
I'll bet they put on a hell of a show. I bet the crowd would be one-third my age.
I haven't been to a concert in years.
I wanted to
have children, audience.
A quick concert story. I went to see a lot of concerts with Jim, your regular Rock in the Suburbs co-host. And he and I went to see Weezer when the Blue Album first came out, you know, when their debut tour.
Yeah.
I believe, I could be wrong, the only songs they had to play were the album, so it was a very short show.
It was 28 minutes long.
And also, we were by far the oldest people there, and you could see a ring of moms standing around... waiting for their kids to be done so they could take them home.
You were just like, which one of these moms am I going to date?
I wasn't quite that old yet.
Sure.
Now, of course, it'd be, you know.
The band has toured with, Czar again, sorry, backtracking, has toured with the New York Dolls.
There you
Social Distortion, Eve 6, The Marvelous 3, Duran Duran, and Nerf Herder.
There you go. I could see all that. And it says they were described as the starry-eyed child of Cheap Trick and Sweet.
There you go.
Sweet, of course, is, you know, Fox on the Run and Ballroom Blitz. And
I got one more song for you from one more band on our smooth music episode.
Okay.
This is a band called The Weaker Thans.
The Weaker Thans.
They are on Epitaph Records. My labels tend to be Epitaph and Fat Rec. So sorry for the themes here. But The Weaker Thans is a Canadian sort of folk pop punk act. Okay. I don't know how to explain it. They have different songs, different genres. They're real undercurrent of melancholy again. But I like this because it's the poppiest, most radio-friendly.
Uh-huh.
It came on, I think, their last album, maybe their second to last album. And let me just listen to it with them more set up. That's the weaker than's the reasons.
You know, I like that, but I gotta say, I don't think it's poppy.
It's a little crunchier.
Nothing against it. It just didn't quite fit into the poppy theme.
I agree with you. In my head, it's just I remember it as that band's more gruff, generally speaking.
Yeah.
So I remember that being the real pop version. And I remember trying to sell this band to Matt Torman, a mutual friend of ours. Not going to listen to this episode. I remember trying to sell this band to him, and he was going, "That's far too pop for me. Far too slick. So in my head, I've
He'd
had
probably like the Dead Boys
reserved, maybe. Yeah. I think it's important though. Like we were talking about earlier, like finding new music, figuring out how to stay current, see a show, whatever. It gets harder the older you get.
But why is it important?
Because something already happened once, just because music's old doesn't make it good.
I'm half joking, but I'm half not joking.
I just think there's a whole world of people going through entirely different experiences than what we have that you might end up relating to a little more than you expected.
Maybe.
And I think a lot of music's good. A lot of new music's terrible.
But as
a lot
I've
of
seen,
old music's terrible.
The way I like to discover new music is sit at a desk in a newspaper and wait for a CD to be mailed to me randomly.
Wait for a marketing department to have figured out that this man will like this album.
I'm sure what it was they saw the words Cheap Trick and they said, "What city's Cheap Trick from Rockford? Send it to the idiot that works at that paper." And that's how it happened.
Yep.
They got more publicity than they could have wanted because I reviewed it like twice. And
I hope you say that when you're standing in the ticket line. I hope you're like, "Hey, man, I want to." Patrick was talking about this before. He was like, "I could call a guy up and say, 'Hey, I want in,' and they just hook him up."
I know.
It would be nice. He had a little bit of worry about that.
And let's be honest, it was a long time ago.
Do you want to get to our closing notes here?
Let's get to our closing notes.
You can listen to the show every day on iTunes through the Apple Podcast section, Audio Boom, and other podcast platforms such as Stitcher, Google Play, any others.
Yeah. Let's see. You can also visit the show's website at suburbspod.com, and you can email the show at rock@suburbspod.com.
I wish that the email was rockin@thesuburbs.com.
Oh, there you go.
Thesuburbs.com is a site that they could buy, but the domain's like, you got a bid on it, so
yeah,
I'm sure it's a billion dollars.
It probably is $1 billion.
You can follow us and them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at suburbspod. And if you want, there's a suburban party line with a jingle that Will apparently wrote.
They do.
612-440-1984.
Call 612-440-1984.
What's the 1985? What was that song? Fountains of Wayne? 1919. All right, whatever. I think it's 1984, but that doesn't quite add up.
No, that's the dystopian novel by George Orwell.
Lastly, if you want to tell Will and I we stink, or maybe say we're okay, that'd be nice.
It's probably more likely the former.
You can follow me at Billy Culpa, BILLYKULPA.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Will Piper, WILLPFEIFER.
That concludes Wednesday's episode of Rockin' the Suburbs. We'll see you tomorrow.
Husband's a CPA. Her dreams went out the door when she turned 24. Only been with one man. What happened to her plan? She was gonna be an actress.